Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda. I have a new friend, Dolores, and she was wonderful enough to drive over to be with me live in the studio. And we are going to talk about motherhood, her experiences living with 2 cultures here in the U.S., and her 3 kids, one who's living with autism, and all that that entails. So I'll let her introduce herself, where she grew up, and maybe how many siblings she had first. So welcome, Dolores.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Dolores. I am from Argentina. I was born and raised in Buenos Aires. Mm. I'm the oldest of 10. So I was like a second mom my whole life. 8 boys and 2 girls. So I was surrounded by men. I grew up surrounded by men. And that's why I'm accused by some feminist friends that I'm always on the men's. You're always defending men. I say, well, maybe because I understand them better than others. Anyways, I love my siblings. I really do. We're very close, always in touch. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, learning a lot from each other all the time.
And I didn't even know that you were 1 of 10 when I asked you to be on the podcast. I wanted to talk more about autism and then, yeah, I didn't know you. I mean, I've only met you once at a talk I gave for life coaching. So
It is fun. It is really fun. You learn a lot. There's a lot of variety of personalities.
Oh, sure.
My mom was always having her arms open for more. So each of us, all of us, we brought a closest friend into the family that became like another member, another sibling.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for me? Because my oldest daughter does a lot of like the babysitting. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to overdo it. It's hard being the oldest girl too.
It is. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot of pros too.
Yeah.
They have cons.
Yeah.
You need to sacrifice certain things that maybe your peers don't do or they do and you cannot do. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, you could resent a little bit that.
Yeah.
Being your mom extension arm. Mm-hmm. But over the years, you start realizing a lot of pros too. Mm-hmm. When you have your own kids, you know way more than anybody else. Yeah. You know how to change a diaper.
Yeah, you're very prepared.
So you have a more relaxed approach to motherhood too.
Yeah.
Because you have like a little, I don't know, a little taste of that.
That's true.
Growing up.
That's
but you have to sacrifice other things.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
No one can have them, I don't know, a perfect everything.
Right.
Doesn't work that way. So relax.
Okay. Thank you. So then you met your husband there. He's also from Argentina. Is that right?
He was born here in Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. That's why when we decided to emigrate, we decided to come to the U.S. We wanted to go to Europe, Spain or any other place, but we have passport and papers to come here because he lived here. Uh-huh. Argentinian parents was born in Michigan, then went back to Argentina for a few years. Uh-huh. And at the age of 18, came back to the U.S., upstate New York, and then moved to South Africa for many, many years. And then went back to Argentina to settle down and marry. We met. And he said, okay, now I'm done traveling. I'm not moving ever again. 5 years later, Argentina's economy collapsed. And we weren't that solid. We lost everything. Oh. Saving house, condo in downtown, job and everything. So at that moment, everybody in Argentina was trying to get a a passport. Half of the population is Spaniard descendant, so there, the Spanish embassy was blocks and blocks of a line, people mm-hmm. trying to apply for the Spanish passport. Mm-hmm. The Italian embassy, the same thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody was trying to leave the country, come to the US. It was
better choice. Sorry.
For me, yes, absolutely. And I think for my kids too. Mm-hmm. But it was hard. It was really hard leaving behind. I had never left my city, mm-hmm. never traveled. I didn't speak English. I have no experience whatsoever. So my husband was kind of concerned. Is she going to adapt or not? Is it going to be a disaster or not? The moment I landed in San Diego, because I was our first stop, I felt at home. I love this country. My only exposure and TV, but it doesn't count because in a month, I realized that everything that all the TV shows are showing are far away from the reality of the US.
Yeah, that's
nothing. I was in the beaches of Southern California. I was saying, where's Baywatch? Okay. This is nothing like Baywatch, okay? It was much more normal. Where is Pamela Anderson, okay? It's not here. But when we were making the decision to move here, my daughter was three and a half, almost four. And then my youngest was a year and a half. He turned two weeks after we landed in the US. We realized that not only we have no money, no job, no contacts in the US, nothing. I was pregnant with our third kid, one kid in each hand and the third one growing. And my pregnancies were all very shorter than normal. So I knew that I didn't have much time to move, find a doctor, give birth, and I have only 8 months to do everything.
Wow.
So it was tough coming with no money, no job and no anything, but we did it. We survived. I will say we started noticing that something was wrong with my second child by the time he was three. Mm-hmm. So 1 year after we moved here to the US, mm-hmm. he was diagnosed with autism.
Okay.
I needed an interpreter to do all the interviews and all the evaluation because I didn't speak English. My husband was working, thank God he had been promoted at the time, but he was working like hour and a half each way from home. So,
wow.
So he was all day out of the house. I have a little baby.
Oh my gosh, how did you survive this?
I don't know. You start pushing forward, and you adapt, you do what you have to do. You put all your brain.
And you had no one here. You knew no one.
Well, I knew one friend from Argentina. I was living in San Diego. The moment I left San Diego and I moved more closer to LA, I was not seeing her. I was talking on the phone.
Oh.
And through her, met a group of women in San Diego.
Okay.
So it was via phone. And then, I don't know, other moms from the autism early intervention program, and I don't know, start talking with people. Something that I did from the very beginning, because I knew that I was coming to stay, was avoid establishing a relationship with other Argentinians living in around LA or other Spanish speaking people, because if I wouldn't force myself to learn the language, if I were trying to create a comfort zone of people I would never going to make it.
Yeah.
I had that very clear from the very beginning. I met a lady, she has been living in the US for more than 40 years when I met her. And she needed her daughters to go to the dentist because she didn't speak English, because she was from Mexico and she was surrounded by family and friends and relatives and all of that. And I say, okay, if I start creating that cocoon, I was never going to get out.
Yeah.
And I have to because I have kids. Mm. And the fact that I have kids, young kids, it forced me to go to parent-teacher conferences, pediatrician checkups, and after my son was diagnosed, therapy and IEP meetings and all of that. And slowly I start every day learning something new. And I don't know, in a few years, I was able to drop the interpreter and I don't know, manage myself.
Good for you.
And after 5 years in Southern California, we moved to Oregon, where we lived 13 years. Mm-hmm. I lost my job because I was working in a school that mm-hmm. was closed. Mm-hmm. And my husband was working remotely. Mm-hmm. My two kids graduating from high school and college, but they were, whatever the next step, it was going to be online. Okay, mm-hmm. this is the time to move. So mm-hmm. we sold our house, packed our stuff, and we crossed the country. 4 days driving, it was so fun.
Oh, wow, you drove?
Yeah, we drove. But it was, I think it was a, not only a great decision, but also I'm very grateful that my two kids, the other two kids, because my son with autism is going to be with us forever, mm-hmm. right? But the other two, because of the circumstances, they moved with us. Mm. What makes us to find a larger house, mm-hmm. even knowing that they are going to leave soon.
Sure.
But at that point, they were with us. But at the same time, they had a chance to make that house their home. Mm. It's not that they left their home in Oregon, and now this is mom and dad's new house.
Yeah.
Because they lived in the house, they work in the house, we need to remodel mm-hmm. a lot of things, and they put sweat and tears into the remodeling, mm-hmm. and they made that house their own.
So now you're in Ohio.
Yeah.
And you love Ohio, of course.
I do.
Right? Ohio's the best.
I do. It's different, very different, but I'm really liking it.
Yeah. And then did you take your kids back to Argentina to visit over the years, or how did you see family?
At the beginning, we didn't have the money to go. It's very expensive, especially mm-hmm. a family of five.
Of course.
But we did it once mm-hmm. when I turned 40. We realized that it was not working for Alfonso, my son, the one with autism, because first of all, his whole world was in English. Mm. He's nonverbal or very little verbal. I have a large family. Mm. All the gatherings were a crowd. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody talking at the same time mm-hmm. in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And in my husband's family, it's a smaller family, but it was the same thing with a lot of cousins. Everybody wanted to see us but that was torture for my son.
Oh yeah.
Because
the noise.
It was too noisy, too loud, too unpredictable, too mm-hmm. different. And so since then, we take turns. Mm-hmm. And we go visit our families separate. All they come here. Mm-hmm. Just my parents came ages 84 and 80. Mm-hmm. And they spent the last month of May with us. And mm-hmm. it was nice. Mm-hmm. So we're taking turns. Mm-hmm. And we go to visit. We're trying to keep the language at home. But mm-hmm. because of my son's auditory processing mm-hmm. complexities. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, this first speech pathologist that we consulted, she told me that we should switch the whole family language to English mm-hmm. to unify his world,
sure.
home and outside of the house world, with one language. And I said, I cannot do that. Mm. I didn't speak English at the time, but also I didn't want to deprive my other two kids mm. from a second language okay. and the possibility to connect with extended family. Mm-hmm. And I say, no, that is not so. Mm-hmm. Since then, our house is a linguistic chaos. That switching from Spanish to English, mm-hmm. I talk in Spanish to my kids, they respond in English. Mm-hmm. And when picture this, Nicholas 2, Alfonso 4. So we're going to, I say, the store. Okay, Alfonso, let's go to the car. Nicholas, vamos al auto. Everything was bilingual. Everything was chaotic.
Perfect. But what a gift you gave them, a second language. I mean, everybody wants to speak Spanish, I think, in the U.S. and to have that. And then to also put the time and energy to helping your son, who's autistic, mm-hmm. with the English. It's a lot of effort on your part, but that was a great gift to give both of them.
Yeah. At the beginning, I wanted my kids to be not only bilingual, but fully bilingual, bicultural. Mm-hmm. So I enrolled my daughter in a long-distance studies. Mm. The Argentina's government provide for Argentinians living overseas. And she was complaining, making a big effort to adapt to the new country, learn the language. Let's say I'm talking about first grade. Uh-huh. Mom, why I have to do two schools? Because she was going to a public school during the day. When she came home, it was like homeschooling, mm-hmm. doing exactly maybe the same content on science and it's not that different, okay? Yeah. And math is not very different. It's basically the same. Why I need to do two schools? I don't like this. Was a battle first grade. It was a battle second grade. By the time she finished second grade, I say, you know what, honey? I have too much on my plate. I'm trying to help your brother with all the therapies and all of that, forcing you to do homeschooling while you're still at home. Is your choice. You're going to regret it in the future. But right now, if you don't want to do it, something that is insane, letting a second grader to make a life decision like that, right? But I was tired.
At the same time, you couldn't enforce it and you didn't have the time and energy.
Navigating the two cultures for me was an interesting experience, because at the end of the day, motherhood is passing to your kids who you are. Mm-hmm. And there is a saying that they're not going to do what you say, they're going to do what you do, mm-hmm. right? I don't know what's the equivalent in English, but in Spanish it's the same thing.
And I'm
and I'm assuming that is universal, uh-huh. because the kids look at you. You can say, don't do this, but if you're doing it, leave your phone, but if you're checking your text all the time, they're going to copy you. Yeah. That's a reality.
Yeah.
When you start realizing that, it's scary.
They copy the dad, then you can blame it on the dad.
That's a good strategy. Until you start realizing that, it's your personal identity is at the end of the day what you're passing to your kids, for good and for bad. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're trying to control the bad to say, okay, let's do this. And you can control that to a certain point. But we have free will. And there are many things that we can control about our lives, maybe not our heights, or I don't know, our body shape. You can develop different habits, good, mm-hmm. and you can eradicate bad habits mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. all of a sudden realize, okay, I'm doing this, that is not okay, I want to change that. And you have that power to do mm-hmm. it. Going back to me coming to the US, it was a moment of a lot of freedom, because all of a sudden you don't have cultural references. Mm. You are new in a place, but you are this person that you're coming with. You're not a blank slate, okay? Mm-hmm. You're a blank canvas. You're coming with a history, with your own culture, with your own personality, with your own education. You are coming with a lot of things mm-hmm. that define who you are. But at the same time, you have the freedom to get rid of certain things that maybe you don't like about the culture you are coming, or about yourself. For example, my family is not listening. We all talk at the same time. Yes. And funny thing, my youngest child, that he was born and raised here in the US, is used to the way that here in the US, people, most of the time, they listen to the other person and they mm-hmm. wait until the other person is finished talking mm-hmm. to add
something. Hope my husband's not listening. This is his number one pet peeve of me. In my family, we all just talk.
Okay.
All girls.
Are you Italian from descendant?
We should be. Okay. I don't know. Polish. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Talkative. But he gets so annoyed. Like, let me finish. Don't interrupt. Well, I thought that was normal.
Yeah, me
too. Until I'm 25 and married, and I'm like, oh, people pause.
Wow. Big discovery for me at 34. But my youngest, when he went to visit Argentina, say, and I warned him before, uh-huh. Nicholas, you need to be prepared that people are not going to wait for you to say what you want to say.
You will never talk.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you want to say something, you need to.
And they won't stop.
Force yourself into the conversation.
Yeah, it's not, okay, I'm done. Now what do you want
to
say?
Do you think? Never is going to happen. So if you want to, if you're thinking something and you want to say something, say it. Otherwise, but it's a cultural difference, like it or not. But at one point I say, okay, I like better. First of all, I'm living here and people are thinking that I'm rude because I'm interacting.
Except me.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren, for being.
I have to say, it is a talent to be able to, I am listening. While you're talking over me, mm-hmm. I'm still talking, but I still know what you're saying. So this is kind of a talent.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. I agree with you. But many people, like you were saying, your husband and my son.
I think most people.
They were going to say, excuse me, I'm not done. Can I finish my sentence before you jumped into it? Well, those little things and more that you can say, okay, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I can change that and incorporate new things. Mm-hmm. For example, in Argentina, we don't have Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's not part of our culture.
Yeah, sure.
And when I came here, I have so much to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. Completely natural from the very core of my being mm-hmm. to incorporate that holiday.
Yeah.
It's not just a holiday. Mm-hmm. It is my holiday.
Yeah.
And so I embraced that, not only because I was not copying.
Yeah.
I embraced it. That is a completely mm-hmm. different idea.
Of course.
Other things I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, I copy Halloween because my kids were kids mm-hmm. and they were in school and they wanted to do what other people were doing.
Sure.
Now that they're grown-ups and they don't go trick-or-treating anymore, mm-hmm. okay. Last year, I decorated the house for the sake of the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But honestly, doesn't move me at all.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever, Halloween. Valentine's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But other things, there's something that I embraced. I had that freedom when I moved here, and I incorporated so many things from this wonderful country that I made my own.
How do you feel about 4th of July?
From the bottom of my heart.
Oh. I'm
going to
cry.
No, no.
I love it.
And honestly, I don't know why I moved here to be part of this country. The mm-hmm. people of this country always, always treated me, well, maybe at the pandemic, some people didn't, but that was exceptional. Always treated me super nicely. Never, ever felt discriminated. But the only time that I feel discriminated in California was by other Hispanic ladies,
mm-hmm.
okay? Yeah. And because I was too white to participate in a low income program that they had, because mm-hmm. my daughter was blonde with blue eyes, so there's no room for you here. That's the truth. And they accuse other people from being racist and all of that. And I was pissed and I didn't have a chance to complain about that. And I felt so embarrassed and so mad that I let it go. Okay, mm. I'm going to find another way. But that was the only time in 20 years living in this country. I made this country my own with all the good and the bad and the struggles and the triumphs.
Got it. So let's talk a little bit more about Alfonso. I don't know if you want to share from the beginning with the diagnosis, kind of your experience or having an adult son with autism.
Well, it's
a little bit of both.
It's been a long journey, so I cannot talk about everything.
Sure.
To be honest, I've been writing a book for years now because you're asking me at the beginning, how do you survive? You survive pushing forward.
Mm.
So you're moving forward, always pushing forward.
Mm.
And at one point I decided to start writing that book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time in many years that I was able to look back
mm-hmm.
and sat in front of the computer, click, 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 and trying to remember. And I started crying and crying and crying and couldn't stop,
mm-hmm.
okay? Until I finished with one section of the book and say, I'm done. This is too painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great at the same time because that allowed me to process a lot of emotions that they were over there that I didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
Most people, they find help. They go, I don't know, find a psychologist or a support group or something like that. For many reasons, I didn't have the chance.
Yeah.
And
sometimes when something's so hard, it's easier just to keep going.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can process it later. It's not necessarily bad. It's just different. But it sounds like it was healing to write it down. Like
absolutely.
Journaling almost. Like
I learned a lot from different people along the way. One of the first books that I read, there was one sentence that stayed with me and still is.
Wow.
And it says, you meet a better class of people when your child is diagnosed with special needs.
Mm.
And I know that to be true because no one goes to the special needs field to work searching for money, a glamorous life, right? No one goes for the prestige of the people who goes to work, special ed teachers, aides, therapists, and all that. They go into the field because they have a great heart, a big heart, and they want to help people. Mm-hmm. So I could say that I met the best people in the U.S. through my son, because I have met amazing people, and I have learned so much from them, so much about, I don't know, connecting with other people, how to help my son, mm-hmm. because they are the experts, but also how to look mm-hmm. at my son. Mm-hmm. At the beginning with every kid, you are trying to, I don't know, pass as much, develop so many skills with every kid, right? When we have a kid with special needs, it's harder because their learning ability is different. Mm-hmm. And you need to, first of all, discover what is that ability. Second, how can I teach how to tie the shoes, use the restroom, and eat different foods, and so on, to speak, to communicate, and many things, and to look for the sensor input that helps them to regulate and to calm themselves when the world is overwhelming. That is the case for many, all the people with autism. So not only you are trying to learn how to teach, that at one point you develop like an anxiety to do it fast or more, because you are feeling that you're losing the train, that the train is leaving the station, and you're saying, wait for me. That's a feeling that I have for many years. Mm. And I was trying to, I was kind of tense inside to say, I need to help my son. I need to help my son. So at the beginning was like that anxiety of, I have to, I have to defeat this. I have to help my son. I need to help my son to overcome these limitations. And how can I do it? And making plans and studying and making learning here and there, to going to a conference, and you're trying to, all of that. At one point, you start realizing that many of those limitations, or some of those limitations, are here to stay. And accepting that, it's a completely different phase. And seeing the person beyond their own limitations, even for the mother, is a challenge. So I totally understand why people from the outside world don't see that. Mm. I learned that from one teacher. Mm. When she was in high school, my son was in high school, I'm talking about a teenager, and I realized that she was treating her students, including my son, giving my son more space that I was giving him. Mm. I was like babying my kid to a certain point, because she told me to step back and let him being him, himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think we can all relate to that, because when you're expressing this feeling of anxiety, I feel that with my own kids, whatever it is, you know, that I'm a special need. Like, I just want this to be this way, or in my work, I want this project to be done now.
And sometimes you try to guarantee the success of your child or your kid's life. Mm-hmm. I want you to succeed. So I want to, you need to do this because I know this works. Mm-hmm. And it is hard for every kid. Mm-hmm. Parenting is, but when your child has a special needs, it's even harder. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while, a long time. I'm still learning. Every day I'm still learning something new. But so I learn a lot from the experts, not only from their expertise, but looking at them, how they connect, and the love that they put in caring for others. And when things get harder, I learn over the years to look into my son's eyes. He cannot tell me a lot of things, but I'm here and you're there. And mostly to trying to keep a balance in the family. Mm-hmm. Because I have seen so many. Seen when your kid needs you, you're the mom. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be there to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. If the kid is sick in the night, you don't sleep. If your kid needs to go somewhere, you don't eat. Whatever, okay? When your child needs so much, it's so easy to it becomes like a, in a, sounds horrible, but it's the reality. It feels like a black hole sucking all the energy. And your resources, mental, physical, energy, and financial resources are limited. They are not, they cannot stretch forever. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to see, to say to yourself, I cannot do this. I need to stop doing this because the other child needs you to be reading with him or with her, because your daughter needs you to go shopping for a silly thing, the first makeup or whatever, or you need to decompress. Mm-hmm. So you need to sit on a couch and read a book or maybe go out with friends because you need to decompress. Mm-hmm. And your husband, the same thing, is a completely universe, because men and women react differently. And as a mom, you think that the only way to connect to your kid is your way, but your partner, your husband, the father of the kid, has a different way to communicate, a different way to connect, a different way to relate, a different way. And you need to discover his way and respect that and start combining and complementing. It's a completely another challenge. It demands a lot of intelligence, to be honest, a lot of thinking. And from the thinking, then the acceptance. It is true that your child with special needs needs you. And it is true that it's more that you can give. But at the same time, it's not the only one in the family. Mm-hmm. So, and you are the one, because the moms are the core of the family. I think it's important to try to keep the balance, mm-hmm, for your own sanity, mm-hmm, because if you're losing it and kicking toys and screaming because this is a chaos, mm-hmm, or screaming, no one gets a thing, right? Things are not done and no one is happy.
Yeah.
You are not happy, they are not happy, they are not happy, and it's a disaster. Learn your limitation and accept that, mm-hmm, and be at peace with that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very well said. You've learned a lot. It's beautiful. My only other question was how it's affected your faith or enhanced it or...
Never questioned that.
Yeah.
I had a phase that I was in my life that I was very angry to God, mm-hmm, with God. And I try really hard to stop believing. Mm-hmm. Didn't succeed. It was ridiculous. It was like a little kid saying, I hate you, I don't want to talk to you. And I say, yeah, where am I going to go, please, for God's sake. But never because of that. Never because of my son's disability. And he was, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about he, because I'm not going to start with all the nonsense of the whole thing. He was the best companion. And there's so much out there, resources, books, people, different schools. There are so many different options out there that trying to have a whole comprehension of the whole thing to choose the best is impossible. Mm. So I put Jesus at the wheel from day one. Even in the face that I was mad, it wasn't even at that moment. I say, okay, guide me, take me whenever you want me to take our son, mm-hmm, because it's mine, but it's not only mine. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do? Put the right people. Mm-hmm. I don't know the right people. Put the people that you want me to interact here. And at one point I resisted some of those people and they stayed. And they were fabulous at the end. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for many years, at another phase, after seeing another mom, another story, I start praying and say, please, with me or with you. Meaning that if I cannot take care of my son, take him. Mm. And I'm going to start crying. Mm. And I haven't cried in years because of this. But I have seen how hard it is for parents to, for different reasons, to put their kids in a special group home, mm-hmm, or institution or whatever, mm-hmm, is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So For years, my prayer was every night with you or with me or with you. Please, please give me that, give me that, give me that. But years ago, I stopped praying that. I say, okay, I'm not putting conditions. I would say full surrender. I'm full surrendering. Here I am, whatever. But at the same time, he's still providing. He's still taking me to places that are good for my son. For example, the day program that he's now, I had a caseworker that she gave me a couple of options. There are not many places responding to her quest of looking for the programs available open during the pandemic. Are they going to, are you accepting new people, blah, 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 blah. I didn't like those places. I found them sad, really sad. And I was thinking, okay, he is better at home with me than here. And one day I started, got in front of the computer. It has to be more places. This cannot be the two only options here in Cleveland, sorry. So I started click, and I found online a place that looks divine on the website. So one time coming from the grocery store, I saw the name of a street. Every street is new for me, right? So I say, oh, that place was on this street. Let's see if I can find it. I saw this place when it rang the bell. And I say, excuse me, this is my situation. This is what I need. I'm looking for a place and I don't know where to go. And I think maybe you can help me because I saw your website online and I don't know if I'm at the right place or not. Give me a minute. Bling, bling, bling. So can you come here? There's a woman that needs to talk to you, but whatever. It was not the right place, but he put me in contact with the right person that got me an interview. My son was accepted. I had to wait 9 months for what I told you, but at the end, he's in this place that is perfect for him. And I went over there because a hunch, maybe let's. So I was guided by someone saying, come here, come this way, ring the bell, get out of the car, go there. And it was not planned. It was not, it didn't come from, I don't know.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
It was,
God,
emotion that was taking me. So how it's affecting my faith every day is evolving and getting stronger and stronger because there are more, I would say, facts that they are showing me that I am not alone. So one of the chapters in my book is going to be, I haven't read yet, about my best companion on this journey that it has been God, definitely.
Well, Dolores, oh my goodness, this was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Everything you said was so helpful because, you know, women that I talk to with life coaching, regardless of their kid's situation, they're just anxious and worried and want to control it. And everything you said, I think, will really speak to everyone. And of course, there's also people that's kids with special needs that will learn a lot from you. So thank you for blessing my listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's age.
Yeah.
Aging has its benefits. And one of them is get rid of that anxiety.
Yeah.
Because you need to go through. You need to go through the, I don't know, the storm. And having little kids, it feels like a storm many times. But it's a good one. It's a great one. No, thank you for listening, for asking me to share, because it's also good to reflect and look back and realizing that life is good. It has been difficult at some points. But at the end, it's good. And there are so many more things ahead to look forward to. So.
Wow. Well, come back.
I will.
When your book is done. And can you teach me how to tango?
I can't. Sorry. I took only one lesson in my life that I was a disaster. Okay. So maybe we can go to classes together.